everlasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free. Remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer, "Yes, I am here," he will quickly reply. Remove the yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. Amen. Well, it is really a wonderful gift and privilege to be able to welcome back Amanda. And it just seems like when she comes to Knox, she has to bring this guy named Ryan with her too. So we're glad to have Ryan. And there's something impending in the future, near future, for the two of you, is there not? When's that happening? August? August 20th? That was... August, you know, that was just something wanting to shout out hallelujah for August 22nd. I think that was the shout of the Lord rising up there, Ryan. That was good. But delighted for that great news in your life. But Amanda was here, I believe it was February, early February, February 9th, I think, last year. And years passed. She spent that year in northern Thailand. She came in this morning, and Ruth Shrive said to her, "Oh, it's you." Yes, because I know some of you have had those prayer cards, and you've been praying with us for her work and service in northern Thailand. No more from me. Amanda, come and share with us about it.
Sawadee ka, that means hello in Thai. Good morning. Sorry, I'm just going to shove this in my back pocket so I don't end up chucking it while I'm talking. First of all, thank you so much for having me back. It's a huge pleasure and honor to be back here. I can't believe it's already been over a year since I was here last. The time just flies, and the fact that I was in Thailand for that year is still a little bit surreal. Yeah, but I feel very honored and privileged to be here, so thank you. Because I've only been back in Canada for just over a month now, I'm still processing and debriefing my time spent in Thailand. It's transitioning back when you've come home is a journey in and of itself. For any of you who maybe spent some time overseas, you know this well. And so there's a lot of things about my experience that I still feel like I can't fully articulate. I don't even really know where to begin on those things, or things that I'm not even aware that I need to start processing. But there are some things I want to share with you this morning, just to share with you about my experience in Thailand, a little bit about what I've learned from my specific experience there working in northern Thailand, as well as just a few things that I feel like God has just put on my heart as an encouragement since I've been back. And hopefully that'll be encouraging for you too. So I'm going to be talking about human trafficking because I was working with an anti-trafficking organization in Thailand. So for those of you who don't really know what human trafficking is, that's okay, I'm going to tell you. It is the buying and selling of humans for the purpose of exploitation. It is almost always done through coercion and manipulation of the trafficked individual. And there are many forms of human trafficking. One of the main forms of human trafficking is sexual exploitation, and this is known as the sex trade. So this is something that has been on my heart ever since I've heard about it, and specifically in the past 2-3 years, I'd been very compelled to fight against this horror that is in our world. So I ended up going to Thailand a year ago with Destiny Rescue. And Destiny Rescue is a Christian nonprofit organization that seeks to prevent, rescue, and restore children who have been sexually exploited. So human trafficking, the sex trade encompasses men, women, and just in such a terrible way, children. And Destiny Rescue specifically focuses on rescuing kids who have been trafficked and sexually abused. And so I was working for Destiny Rescue as a caseworker. And so I was working in the aftercare and reintegration department of the organization. So I was working at our rescue property. And so we had a 6-month program where when girls were rescued, we had a rescue team. The girls would be rescued, they would be brought to us, and they would be at the rescue property for a minimum of 6 months. Depending on how they were doing, their level of trauma, where they're at, that obviously fluctuated because we were there to meet the individual needs of every girl that came. And so my role as a caseworker was then to oversee the girl's time there. So when the girl came to the rescue property, next to the house parents, we had house parents that lived there because the girls lived there, I would be one of the first people that they saw. So there was other caseworkers as well, so we got kind of divvied up as girls came in. But I would be one of the first people they saw, and I acted as a liaison between all the key players in the girls' life while they were with Destiny Rescue. So counselors, job placement specialists, teachers, house parents, and I kind of made sure that their time in the aftercare program met their needs, that they were able to move through that at a pace that worked well for them, that if they needed more counseling, if they were high trauma, then we would get them more counseling. If they had, they wanted to go to school, then we would set up an appointment with a job placement specialist and get them into school and apply for programs, things like that. So that was kind of my job. So I worked very closely on the ground with the girls. I'll talk a little bit more about what my role kind of entailed. But first I want to talk about my experience overall, just living in Thailand. So I didn't live in a compound or anything like that. I lived right in the city, right in Chiang Rai, in a house in the community. I had Thai neighbors, stuff like that. And I love Thailand. It's a beautiful country. There's so many things that, I loved about it, but like in any culture, in any place, there's also challenges, especially in a culture that's very different than the one that I've grown up in. So I just want to share with you some things that I really liked and some things that were difficult, because both played a significant role just in my time there and my experience there. Things that I liked. I loved the food. Thai food is amazing. It's one of my favorite foods. and I don't think I could ever get sick of it. I'm already craving it again coming back. So the people. Thai people are warm, friendly people. They're just so beautiful and welcoming. And just seeing their smiles, it was something so warm just being around Thai people. I loved that. I love the messiness of Thailand. Life is just kind of out there on the streets. Shops are opened up on the streets. People are everywhere. There's not kind of this like compact, cookie cutter lifestyle there. It's just everything's out in the open, and there's something really great about that. You really experience the community. Just with the messiness of it. I love markets. Markets are an incredible, I just love them. They're so incredible because anytime you go to a market in whatever country you're in, that's where you really seem to experience the culture of that country. And so that was really cool. I just loved being in the markets and meeting people. And of course, that's where a lot of the Thai food was, so it was great. and I also, I don't know if you saw it in the pictures cycling through a bit, I rode a motorbike while I was there, and I loved riding a motorbike. Oh my goodness, the freedom in riding a motorbike is so great. There'd be times that I'm driving through the city or just driving out in the country, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is my life right now. I am just on a motorbike in northern Thailand and just having this freedom. And it was like, thank you, Jesus. This is awesome. So that was really fun, and I miss it. Sometimes I'm like, I'm stuck in this car now back in Canada, but it's all right. but like I said, there's also challenges with anywhere you live. There's going to be challenges. Some specific ones living in Thailand was a language barrier. That was really hard. When I'm working with the girls, we have translators, so we would always speak through a translator with the girls. But that in itself puts up some walls there, right? You can communicate with them, but you're not able to have that direct one-on-one communication, like if I was fluent in Thai or if I was Thai, that I could. And also just in everyday life, that was difficult. I was able to pick up some Thai and, you know, get by and just small little interactions, you know, telling the girls how beautiful they looked that day or something. But yeah, the language barrier was definitely difficult. And not always being able to understand the Thai mindset. It's a completely different culture, different ways of thinking, different ways of viewing things. Not necessarily bad, just different. And so it was hard for me to kind of engage in that all the time, even if I wanted to step into that mindset and try and understand where they're coming from or how they're viewing something. It was hard for me to wrap my mind around that. And I often offended people, not willingly, of course, but it just happens because you don't necessarily realize that something's offensive or right or wrong in that culture. And so that was difficult at times, but you kind of stumble through and you learn as you go, and there's a lot of grace there. And so it's the great thing about the Thai people. They're very gracious with us foreigners. And then something else about Asian culture, a lot of it, there's this whole idea of saving face, right? That everything's okay on the outside, but on the inside, things might not be okay, and people might not be doing well. And even in the culture, things seem nice and shiny and everything, but underneath, like, the quality's not very good or something like that. And so things sometimes seemed very surface level, and it could be really frustrating because when you started digging deeper, you kind of realized that things are actually falling apart, and it took a while to kind of get past that surface level with some things. So that was a challenge as well. But I love the challenges. This is something that God used over this past year to really refine me. I really believe that it's the challenges and the struggles of visiting or living in a different culture that really shape us. It's a humbling process, and it causes a lot of introspection. It forces you to take that camera that we so often look at other people through, judging them, analyzing them on the way they do things, and turning it back on ourselves and say, oh, well, this is kind of what I'm thinking or doing, and is this right or wrong, or is it just different? And forcing you to kind of step outside of yourself a little bit and realize that there's so many other ways to experience this world. There's so many other ways to experience God. And realizing that just I'm a small part of a very big picture. And it just gives a really refreshing perspective like that, and really helps to mold and give you a more holistic worldview. And so the challenges are the beautiful parts of traveling and living in a different culture. As difficult as they are, they're so necessary and they're so valuable. And I think just outside of, you know, working specifically with Destiny Rescue, living in Thailand and that whole experience of engaging in a new culture, God really used that to refine me of just who I was as a person. And I'm still stumbling through learning these things. It's not like I go through life now just open-minded and all that kind of stuff. I try to, but at times, you know, human nature, it's easy to be closed-minded and think my way is the best way. But I really feel like this is something that God had taught me a lot about over this past year, and it was refreshing and it was painful at times, but it was so necessary and so good. So that was kind of my experience in brief about living in a different culture. But my experience working specifically as a caseworker, I'll just share with you a little bit about what my day was like. Each day was a little bit different, just kind of depending what came up that day, depending on what went on with the girls, especially over the weekend. You just never knew what happened with them over the weekend. They're teenage girls, so they had a mind of their own, doing their own thing sometimes. But my day, I often had meetings, lots and lots of meetings with other caseworkers, meeting with the counselors and the house parents and the teachers. We'd sit down, we'd talk about the girls, how they were doing, how we could support them, things like that. Specific girls, if something came up, how do we tackle this issue, or what can we do to meet the need that she has at that time? I would meet with girls, so some days it might just be one girl, some days it'd be meeting with girls all day, sit down and talk to them, how are they doing, talking about their goals and their dreams. I also had to be the disciplinary figure a lot as a caseworker, so if they were breaking a ton of rules and sneaking out or just doing very harmful things, we'd talk through those things. I also was able to teach life skills. So in the program, the girls go to classes, and one of them is life skills. And this isn't necessary for all caseworkers, but I was able to kind of step out of my role as a caseworker a few times a week and move into the role as a teacher and teach life skills a couple times. And that was really refreshing to be able to do that and engage with the girls in a different way, and kind of build into that relationship kind of from a different angle too. And I think that really then helped my role as a caseworker, because I was able to, move away from that caseworker role, which sometimes could be very much almost like a parent-child relationship, whereas they would sometimes see us as, oh, the caseworker, oh, she's gonna come and tell me what I have to do or do what I did wrong or something like that. And this way it was more just more of a relational, and we could have fun together. And so that was really, really good. And also my role consisted of a lot of administrative work. A lot of my time was spent at a desk typing up paperwork and case notes and all this kind of stuff. And that just was kind of the nature of the beast, that with any time I went with a girl, automatically there was a ton of case notes. So that was kind of, each day was a mix of all these things. And again, there were challenges in my role, a lot of challenges. We were working with traumatized youth. That in itself is a massive challenge, especially because I hadn't worked that closely and in that way with traumatized youth before. And so we're working with girls that have been rescued from bars and brothels, from abusive situations, either in their villages, by their family members, by authority figures in the villages. Some of them had spent a very short amount of time in a bar and maybe, praise the Lord, didn't experience the full extent of the sex trade. Some of them experienced sexual exploitation, every sense of the word. And so huge amounts of trauma with that. And with that, post-traumatic stress disorder, right? So anxiety attacks were huge. Self-harm, we saw a lot of self-harm, absconding, so running away, sneaking out, going back to the bars, meeting up with men outside, and then coming back through during the week, just different things like that. Even just bad attitudes and behavior, and all these things were results of the trauma. And sometimes it was really frustrating, because it was hard to always remember that these girls were traumatized girls, because they're also teenage girls, and you're working on the ground with them and you're building that relationship, and they're just giving you attitude, and sometimes you just want to be like, you're being a bratty teenager. But really, it was important for us to take a step back and realize that there's so much more going on here, as well as, you know, the teenage hormones. but that was a challenge in itself, to sometimes step back out and realize that there was a lot more going on there because of what they experienced. And also, praise the Lord, I'd never experienced something like that. And so for me to even begin to understand what they had gone through was a challenge. So that was obviously one of the biggest challenges. Another one was working cross-culturally. So working cross-culturally with the girls, but also working cross-culturally with all of the Thai staff and volunteers. There's many Thai staff and volunteers working for Destiny Rescue. And so just learning to work together, and we all had a heart for the same thing. We had a heart for these girls, but you know, again, there's different mindsets, different worldviews coming into play here. So just learning, how do we work together? And for me, as a Westerner, not coming in and saying, well, this is the way I think things should be done and this is what we should do, but saying, you know, I'm the visitor here. I'm the one that's coming into their culture. And so it's important that I stop and try and understand their worldview, how they do things here in Thailand, and support them in that. And how do we work together in that? And so it was messy a lot of the times. There was frustration, there was arguments, but there was also a lot of grace in that and a lot of prayer in that. And we would come together and pray a lot. And that was really, really, really important. Learning to let go was another big challenge. So with our girls, like I said, they're dealing with a lot of negative coping mechanisms that come from the trauma that they faced. And at the end of the day, I can't force them to do one thing or the other. Of course, I want them to stop cutting themselves, or I don't want them to run away and meet up with these men or something like that. And I wish that I could just hold them and not let them do these things. But it also had to be their choice. If it wasn't their choice, then it wasn't going to actually be real change in their lives. And they had to be the ones to finally choose, I want to change, I want something better. And sometimes it was messy, they would want that, but then, you know, they would fall back into these tendencies, or things would become so overwhelming that they would go back to cutting, or they would just run away, or they would have these anxiety attacks. And it's easy to think that I need to be the one to control this, I need to make sure these things don't happen. But there really is only so much I can do. I can support them, I can love them, I can provide them with what they need in order to work through those things in a healthy way, but they have to choose that and want that, and the rest of it I just had to let go. And so if they kept running away, if they kept cutting, we were here for them to support them, but I couldn't force them, and I had to just let that go and just trust that God was in control. These are his girls, his daughters, and he is a good dad. And if my heart is to see these girls healed and whole, how much more is his heart to see these girls healed and whole? And so it was freedom for us too to be able to let go of that burden and just be like, you know, this girl is continually doing this. We're here for her. We're always going to be here for her and support her and work through these things with her. But it's God that is in control of this, and we have to just put this in his hands because there's nothing else that we can physically do. And that was a huge learning experience. You feel a lot of guilt. You feel so much responsibility for these girls, and you want to, like I said, want to be able to control what they're doing, but you can't because they're humans and they're individuals, and they need to make their own choices for that healing to be real. So those were some of the biggest challenges. And alongside also developing the program, it was a constant work in process to meet the needs of these girls. And so we were working a lot together as a team to really develop this program and make it a holistic program that met the needs of these girls. When I first went to Thailand, they had just started this new aftercare and reintegration program. And so it was a lot of trial and error as we were going through. There was a lot of refinement and reforming, and it was touch and go a lot of the times. So that was also a challenge in creating this program. I was writing a lot of curriculum and things like that while I was there as well to help build into this program for the girls. So yes, those were the challenges, but they were hard. There were times that I was in tears. There were times I wanted to give up. There were times that I just was like, I don't know what to do anymore. Or sometimes you would just laugh and be like, I'm gonna laugh or cry right now, so I'm choosing to laugh. But all of it was so important. And like I said, it's the challenges that make these experiences so worthwhile and so good, because the challenges are what build into us and make us stronger and make us rely on God. It honestly just forced me to rely on God and trust him. And that was one of the sweetest things that I was able to experience, is learning to trust God more. I've already touched on this a little bit, but what did God teach me in this specific role as a caseworker? One is that he taught me, I guess, that these people that we see in the sex trade, you know, you might see a video or you might see an advocacy awareness program, and he taught me that they're human, that these people have faces and names, and he just brought this humanity to it. When I would sit on the floor with a girl and talking with her one-on-one, and she's just a teenage girl. And that was such a beautiful thing, because it kind of stripped away too all of this other stuff that, you know, oh, she's trafficked and she's been abused and all this stuff, but she is a person and she is a beloved of God. And it was just such a beautiful experience to sit there with her. And they're my friends too. Like, we would go and we would go to waterfalls and go swimming, or we would go out for dinner or do all these different things. And that was just such such a beautiful thing about that role as a caseworker, is I got to really experience that humanity there of these girls that at one point were kind of just faces and now they were people. Another thing, like I already said, it's all in his hands. These are his girls, and there was just such an importance of trusting God that at the end of the day, he is the one in control, and I have the privilege to be able to partner with him and do what he's asking me to do, but this is his mission, and he is in control. And it's easy to feel like you're not necessarily doing anything of value, you know, especially when the girls are maybe constantly going back to the same negative coping mechanisms. It's easy to feel like you're not getting anywhere. But trusting that God is in control, and he's far bigger than my efforts. He's far bigger than this 1 year that I'm in Thailand. And he works outside of time and space, and just trusting that he knows the big picture. He knows these girls so well. And so those were some big things that God really taught me in my role as a caseworker. I also want to just talk a little bit about what I learned in general, living and working in Thailand, and just throughout life over the past year. Obviously, living and working in Thailand played a role in it, but just like anyone else here, God is constantly working in our lives. He's constantly speaking to us, teaching us new things. And so something he really taught me was just that it's all about him. And I know that sounds so cliche, it's all about God, but it's all about God. It's easy to get caught up in kind of the act that you're doing, whatever that may be, right? Anti-trafficking or aid in development or teaching, church planting, even my specific role as a caseworker, it's easy to get caught up in that is kind of the end all and the be all. That is the gospel, what I'm doing kind of thing. But no, it's all about God. And it's all of those things are a part of loving God and loving others and just being a part of this big picture and about being a part of the kingdom of God here on earth. And anti-trafficking work is one part of that big picture. And it can manifest itself in different ways, right? How we love God and love others, however we feel compelled, and however we feel God is calling us to respond to the needs that we see, and that we are to respond, but it can look in different ways, look differently. And so that was something that God just taught me, just as I experienced, met new people working in different things in Northern Thailand, different ministries, even different people working for Destiny Rescue coming together with all these different gifts, with the media team, the teachers, people in administrative roles, counselors, and that it wasn't as much about those specific roles that they were in, but that we were seeking to see the gospel just shared with these girls and spread out in Northern Thailand, and that we are seeking to love God first and loving others from that. Also, I learned a lot about God's sovereignty. And this is a huge lesson even more recently that I've been learning a lot about. And that, like I said, God is in complete control. And also in that, realizing just how little control I have. It's easy to think that we have all of this control, that we can, you know, even planning for the future and that kind of stuff, but how often do our plans not work out, right? Even small things like a coffee date with somebody doesn't work or something. We have very little control, but God is sovereign over all of it. He is in control, and he knows exactly in every situation what needs to happen and what is best. And for each of the girls that I worked with, he knew them so well. He knew them before they were born, and he created them. He created every little part of them and knew who they were going to be. And he is a good father. And so just trusting in his sovereignty, that was really, really big and very important for my role as a caseworker, and just even living in Thailand when you never knew what was going to happen on a daily basis, even outside of work. It was just kind of like, oh, well, you're in Thailand. Who knows what's going to happen? And just kind of stumbling through my life there and just trusting in God's sovereignty over it all. And finally, God's love for me was something that I learned a lot about. Like many Christians, that whole concept of God's deep love for me is something that I often find hard to grasp. It's easy to, you know, kind of be hard on yourself or hold yourself to a certain standard, and if you don't meet that standard, then be critical and that kind of thing. And but God really spoke to me of his love for me. And God loves me as much as he loves all of those girls that we were rescuing and working with. And often I would see myself as I'm the worker. I'm there to serve God. I'm there to serve these girls and to do this task that God has put on my heart. And they are the beloved. But God kind of, through different situations and just through his grace and his mercy, just spoke to me of my belovedness and that I am also the beloved. And just what a beautiful thing that is that the beloved of God loving and serving the other beloved of God. And that was really big and just an amazing lesson to learn, and one that I'm still learning. It's a lifelong journey of learning about God's love for us, right? And but yeah, that was something I really cherished over my time, and I felt like this past year I was really able to step into that and begin to really understand and experience that sweet love of God as I worked with these girls. Those are some of the things that I learned from my experiences in Thailand. And now just kind of coming home, I've only been home, like I said, for about a month, just over a month. But some things that I've even just kind of realized or thought about since I've been home that I want to share with you, and I hope that they would be encouraging to you too. I have really grown in a love for the body of Christ. The body of Christ is just such a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's God's design here on earth for his kingdom, right? It's done through the body of Christ. And I think just from working with so many different people, with so many different backgrounds, different worldviews, cultures, all these things, you just see the way that the body of Christ from all different corners of the earth come together and to work for his kingdom and to encourage one another. And it's just such a beautiful thing to be a part of. It's such a gift to be a part of that. And so even just encouraging you that we're all part of the kingdom. We all have a role to play. Anti-trafficking, like I said, is a small part of the kingdom. It's an important part. These are huge issues of the sex trade, and human trafficking is a massive issue in our world today, but it's a part of fighting against these evils is a part of the kingdom, and that we all have a role to play. And the biggest thing, like I said, is sharing the love of Jesus, and it's not as much about that specific task you're doing as how you're doing it. Are you sharing the love and the truth of Christ in what you're doing? And then people from all different walks of life and from different worldviews coming together with those different tasks, those different things that they felt compelled to do in serving God, working together to share the love of God, and we can support one another. And that's just such a beautiful thing. Another thing is that a lot of people have come to me and said, oh, it takes such a special person to do this. Oh, wow, that's so amazing that you did that. And I just want to encourage you by saying it doesn't. It's not supposed to take a special person to do this. It should be the norm as Christians for us to go out and to love others. And that doesn't mean that you have to go to Thailand or you have to work for an anti-trafficking organization. But it means that we are to serve the needs of those that we see. And that should be the norm. And that we should just be like, oh, of course you would do that because you're a Christian and that's what Christians do. We love and serve those that are in need and the least of these. And also missional does not mean traveling to another culture or being involved in some big organization. Being a Christian and being missional are one and the same. By accepting Jesus as our Savior, we have accepted the mission of sharing the gospel in this world. And that means anywhere and everywhere. That means to your neighbor here in Waterdown. That means, someone at work. That could mean going overseas or just to a different part of Canada. It can be anywhere and everywhere. But we are all missionaries. We are all part of the body of Christ. And it is the norm as Christians to share the love of God and to step out and to love the least of these. So thank you again for having me. I also just want to say thank you so much to all of you for your support in my time overseas, for those of you that have been praying for me, and even those of you who have who supported me financially. You have all been a significant part of my time in Thailand, and I couldn't have done it without that. So thank you, and I'm honored by you, and it is an honor for me to even be able to stand here before you. And I just ask that you continue to pray. Continue to pray for those who are vulnerable and trapped in the sex trade. Pray for freedom and healing for them. Pray for those who are guilty of trafficking, abusing, and exploiting the vulnerable. Pray for repentance, freedom, and salvation. And pray for Destiny Rescue. Pray for the staff and the volunteers and the leadership of the organization that are still on the ground in Thailand and the various countries we're involved in. And pray for other organizations that are fighting to see trafficking come to an end. And pray and ask God about how you can be involved, whether that is through continued prayer, whether that is financially or going or just sharing about human trafficking and raising that awareness. Just pray for those kind of things and continue to seek and press into God of how he's calling you to respond to those needs that you see around you. So thank you very much. Kap Khun Ka. That's it.